This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Part two of the season 7, episode 4 episode. And we are really excited. This is going to be a lot of content. We can do this. I believe in us. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. And we're back. And it's still the middle of the day. And it's still a great day for a podcast. And we're going to start this half. This is the second half. Make sure you listen to the first half. We're going to start the second half with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
I really thought there was going to be a finale moment there. Okay. There you go.
It was delayed. It came from a far away. It's like thunder, you know?
I see. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fuck. Okay. Eleanor.
No.
What the fuck?
I know. I almost was like, yes. And then I was like, wait, no, that's not
Damn.
Right.
Damn. All right. Ballet kid.
No.
Ballet dad.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Let me finally. Sure. Hold
on. Now I'm questioning myself. Continue your guessing.
Ballet mom.
No.
Worm guy.
Hold on. No.
What the fuck? Lila.
Yes.
About damn time, dude.
It's about damn Larry. Time. No.
Okay, so who do I have right so far? I've got Lila.
Okay. And Ballet Dad.
And Ballet Dad. The realtor.
Yes.
Thank you. Nice. All right, I give up. Who else is in this episode?
The doctor that tells Meredith her uterus is
hostile. Fuck. Yeah, I forgot about that one. All right.
Yep. Okay, so we have Diane Farr, who plays Lila. She is in 3 episodes of Private Practice that you have not seen yet.
Does she also play Lila?
Nope.
Damn it.
John Curry plays Fred Fisher. He is in 1 episode of Scandal and 1 episode is Station 19 as
okay.
a different person. Jennifer Sagan is Dr. Keating. She's in 1 episode of Private Practice. That's the doctor who tells Meredith her uterus is hostile.
Does she play as Dr. Keating?
Nope. Also, Shonda must know someone whose last name is Keating because she has used that last name multiple times across her shows. And then Jacqueline Houston plays the realtor. She was in 2 episodes of How to Get Away with Murder.
Was she also a realtor in How to Get Away with Murder?
I don't think so.
Oh, goodness. That was fun. I remember back in the day when I used to just do it until I was wrong, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring back the old, yeah. I want to shout something out that I forgot. Angie, our new Patreon patron, mm-hmm. also did our latest, she was our last person to do the 5-star review. She's the B&L Guster fan.
Ah.
So she had messaged me that. She's like, I'm also your latest review. And I was like, oh, you left one? And she's like, yeah, it was me on the last one. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. You're the best. So shout out again. Times 2. Hashtag save the worms. Where should we start right now?
Let's start with Christina, because I know you have a lot to say. I was processing some processing as well during this one, kind of thinking some thoughts that I don't know that I've really ever thought before on this storyline.
So I'll start with my piece then.
Okay.
What was the last storyline that I said I was starting to get really annoyed with? something. There was another storyline that I said, I think it was the Izzy and Alex. I don't know. There was a storyline that was happening that I was starting to get really annoyed with because they were prolonging it. And I think at this point now, I'm not here to say that people should be on a strict time crunch for processing their traumas.
No, but it does sound like that's what you're saying.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I have no problem with human people in life as traumas. What I don't like is I don't think it makes sense for Christina Yang's character to be the person who is dealing with her trauma the worst.
So I actually, watching this, kind of had like a moment where I kind of feel like I understand why she's having such a hard time with this.
I need your help because I'm not understanding it, and I'm having a hard time reading between the lines. I also have a hard time because in my head, like, part of my annoyance with Christina is I'm kind of annoyed with Owen's character and how they're writing him. Is I feel like it's like this opportunistic predator guy. Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like all of these things together are making me annoyed at the storyline. I'm not annoyed at the process of trauma. I'm not annoyed. Even when Lexi went off the deep end, I wasn't annoyed that they wrote her character like that. Everyone deals with their stuff in different ways. I don't like the overall arc of what is happening right now. I like Owen. I like Christina. And I like Owen and Christina. But I don't like where their whole relationship and each one of them are at right now in this storyline. Mm-hmm. Does that all make sense? I'm really trying to process all of my thoughts, to be clear, because I really want to know where your head is at so you can help me understand some of this a little bit more.
So personally, I kind of understand the trauma of like operating with a gun to your head and why that would, like, you maybe wouldn't want to go back into an operating room. I don't really take issue with that.
No.
What I was kind of, because I know you're struggling with her storyline at this point too, so I was kind of watching with that in mind. And I think, so obviously the parallel in this episode is like scientist man is so obsessed with his work, he's like willing to die for it. He's like, I have to cure asthma by eating worms. There's nothing else that has ever mattered more than doing this thing that will kill me if I continue to do it, but I don't care because I must do it because I love it. I love eating worms. It brings me joy. Christina does not understand that. Christina pre-shooting would have understood that, because Christina pre-shooting was the same way with surgery. It was just surgery.
Right.
Christina has said surgery over love, surgery over everything. Surgery over everything, right? So that is where her head was at, being in the OR over everything. She has never felt passion for anything other than the OR. She said, I think what brought it, like what kind of grounded it to me is at the end, after she has made an insane purchase without conversing with her husband at all, says, I don't care where we live, but you do. You love this place and I love you. So, which is problematic. But she doesn't care about anything the way she cared about surgery. And now her whole life was poured into that. So she is floundering because what else is there for her? On top of like the PTSD of doing this thing at gunpoint. That is where I think a lot of it is coming from. It is not only like I am floundering because I've gone through this traumatic event. It is I am floundering and I have nothing else to hold on to because I have structured my life to have nothing else. That is why she probably married Owen, because that was like the only thing that she has as like a constant other. I mean, like she has Meredith, obviously, but it's like, I just have to pour all of myself into something else because I can't do this thing anymore that I love and have set up my entire life and career, and every single goal I've ever had was about this one thing that I now don't feel like I can do because I'm disconnecting from it to process my trauma.
Is she actively processing it, though? Are we being led to believe that she's actively still seeing? Because she's not.
I mean, I don't think she's seeing anybody, but I think you can process things on your own.
Well,
is it,
yes.
Is it better to go to therapy, especially in this scenario? Yes. But I don't know that she's not processing, because to me, if she's not processing, then she wouldn't take the time to be like, I'm not ready to go back into the OR.
That's fair. And those are all good points. And I appreciate you kind of expanding on that a little bit for me. I think the one scene where she's at the end and Bailey's like, you coming? Like, you don't need to do anything. You could just stand and observe and be inside the OR. And she's like, I'm not ready, but thank you. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
I look at that scene as like a, she is, yes, you're right. She is processing. But I think for her, it's really important that she acknowledges, I need people to not stop asking me. Because that's, I'll get there eventually, maybe, is kind of like how I'm reading it. Like, mm-hmm. It's like the person who is so busy with their life, but doesn't want their friends to stop inviting them out.
Yes.
You don't want to not be wanted. She wants to be wanted. I think that she wants people to know, she wants to know that people care about her surgery and her skills and all of that as a person. Mm-hmm. Those are important.
I don't actually get that she wants that from people.
Interesting. That's kind of what I was getting.
I mean, I love that Bailey says, like, you can come in, you can just watch, you don't have to do anything. And Christina says, like, thank you for asking, but I'm not ready. And I think that is, in itself is growth, because she doesn't just snap and be like, leave me alone. She says, like, I appreciate it, I'm not ready yet. Like, thank you. She's still, like, connecting with the patient. She's not, like, completely disassociating from everything. She's still, like, actively involved in, like, more so than she was when she was on Derek's case with Amelia. I do think there's like a progression from episode to episode of where she's at in her PTSD like recovery journey, but it's obviously very different than everyone else's thing, because it is easier with everyone else to be like, oh, well, like, you got shot, you like saw this, you were doing this. And hers is like, because obviously she was not shot, it's just like a different level. There's no one else can really relate to what she did, because no one else really did it. I mean, Jackson was the only other one that was in the surgery with her, and he says, or April said, that he wakes up in the middle of the night screaming from nightmares. So he's also, wouldn't say 100% back. Also, my expectation is that no one is 100% back. The fact that any of these people go back into that hospital on a regular basis is insane to me. Like, I would just never, I would be like, I quit, bye. I will do this somewhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think, I do think that, I just think she doesn't know what she wants or needs, both in recovery and now in life, because again, she has structured everything. Her entire life was built around this one thing, and that has essentially been taken away from her due to circumstances beyond her control. And so the recovery is harder because, like, you know, sometimes, I don't know, when people go through traumatic events, they're like, do something you love, like work out or read books. She like doesn't have anything that she loves except for this one thing, so there is nothing else.
She can't just go do surgery to get over the fear of doing surgery.
Oh, right.
I think I felt this storyline was coming to a close when Derek had her work on the cadaver.
I mean, I definitely think that was a positive step in her processing, because again, you see like the disconnect she had last episode where she was like, not even, she was like, I don't know. Like, I don't care. Versus this episode where she's with Bailey and she is being very involved with the patient. She's talking, she's answering the questions, she's doing labs, she's doing other things. She does sit in the scrub room and watch, and she does like have a connection with the patient enough to like advocate for him.
Right. Which was really cool. She went in there and was like, hey, we need to save those worms. And she's like, I need to save his life, you know?
Yeah.
And
which is, I mean, Bailey made the right call. I don't think that she was wrong for doing it. And I think Christina was right to speak up and like, be like, is there anything else we can do? Because she cared. She connected with that man. She saw the love that he has for his silly little worm snacks. And she like wanted to respect it. And, she, again, I think she can relate because this that was her not that long ago with surgery. And I think she would give anything to feel that way about surgery or anything again. So I think it was admirable for her. But again, I do think Dr. Bailey made the right call in being like, no, there is no option to not suck these worms out of him. He ate worms, you know, you eat worms, you get worm blockage.
Yeah, you eat the worms, you get the horns,
exactly,
as they say in Texas.
So I do think there was a level of connection that we saw this episode that we haven't gotten in a little while. And I do think that speaks to what Derek did in the last episode for her. So, yeah, I just think that there is progression in the storyline. But it's just not done yet.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they snap her out of it. But she'll get back to surgery. She's going to do surgeries again. What did I say? What was my last? Would I predict last week that it was going to be 2 episodes or 3 episodes or whatever? I don't remember what I had predicted, but
I don't remember either.
I think I'm sticking with the timeline. I think it's either next episode or the episode after, whatever it is. She'll get back into surgery.
Okay.
I'm nervous, though, that it's going to be another traumatic experience that, like, forces her to get back into surgery. Or, like, she's out in public and someone collapses and she's like, I need to go MacGyver surgery style right now to save this person's life. So
are you going to be mad if she doesn't go back into surgery right away?
I don't think I'll be mad if she doesn't go back into surgery right away. I just don't like what they're doing with her character.
What would you do with her character?
I would have her divorce Owen. Let's start there.
Okay.
And then not break up with Owen. I think they could work to getting back to that, but I think having the mindset shift where she's not, I don't know. I just have a hard time with that too. Maybe that's what's tainting a lot of my feelings on Christina. Cause then she goes and she buys the fucking firehouse. She's like, I bought it.
Was weird. This is okay. Christina, you guys, I know I love her. Would die for her. This girl needs some help. She needs to reevaluate. She needs some therapy so fucking fast. And Owen is like, again, I agree with you that Owen is taking advantage. I don't think he knows that's what he's doing, but he's fucking doing it.
Right. And I think
care where we live. I just went out and like spontaneously bought this house. I'm like, okay, that's insane. That's an insane thing to do. That's like, it drives me insane at Christmas time when they have all the commercials of people buying cars for their spouses.
About this. It's dumb.
God, it drives me insane. I'm like, it's a huge financial commitment. Talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Also, what are your thoughts on the firehouse?
That's going to take a lot of renovation. What is their budget?
Well, my thing was, I was like, when he was like, oh, we'll knock out this wall. I'm like, I have no problem believing you can afford this. I have a lot of problems believing you have the time to commit to a renovation of this size because you are
of a firehouse. I hope they keep the fire pole, though.
Yeah. And use it for?
Pole dancing.
That's what I thought you would say.
Yeah. That was just me actually speaking. I wasn't even a misdirect like the last one. So anyways, the one thing I want to call out with this guy. So clearly he's very in love with what he does. He said, yeah, usually these trials go for 2 weeks. I did a year with these fucking worms living inside of me. When she goes, your life is at risk because of a hypothesis you can't support. And then the arm grab. And he's like, please hashtag save the worms. She actually does bring it to him.
She took a lot of time to go through
that
stuff that they suctioned out, which let's be honest, a lot of it was probably
It was just poop.
And she went through and picked out the worms on her own time. No one asked her to do that. And she did it. And she's trying to find some connection to this job because it's not the surgery piece anymore.
Yeah.
Would Christina of season 5 do that? No.
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 When he says you don't find something you love that much and let it go, you hold on to it and dig yourself in deeper.
That's what I'm saying. She's realizing, she's like, yes, but what if you can't?
Right. So
she's like stuck in this in between.
She needs a little Mama Odie action. Gotta dig a little deeper.
Oh!
Yeah. So anyways, that's what I got for this guy. I hate the worms. I hate the whole idea of a fucking living being. When she takes it out and it's like fucking wriggling and shit.
No, yeah.
I'm good.
Also, like, okay, I don't understand medicine. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I do. But what... If you cure asthma by eating worms, do you think you can market that? Because I don't.
No.
I could cure asthma by eating worms, and I don't think you will be able to get people with asthma to eat worms. Like, I just, no. Like, what are you? I don't understand the research.
Unless eating the worms, there's a, like, a chemical they secrete in their membranes.
I mean, I think that's kind of what it is, but, like, still, it doesn't... I'm like, you're going to have to find another way to get whatever it is they're... Like, if they're producing some kind of enzyme that's curing asthma, fine. But you're going to need to extract the enzyme and put it in a pill because people are not going to eat your worms.
Yeah. Yeah. No worms for me.
So...
Any final thoughts on that dude? Worm guy?
No. I just feel like he's going to keep eating worms. I don't feel like he's learned a lesson.
It's probably developed into a fetish for him. Some people open up a bag of Doritos. He eats worms, you know? Yeah. Do you want to talk about Jake from State Farm?
Yes, I love Jake from State Farm. He is a precious angel nugget.
I really like this character, and I like this storyline a lot. I know we talked a little bit about what it meant for Callie in Arizona and Alex and some of those dialogues, but let's go ahead and kick us off. Give us the background on this.
So Jake Fisher, I think they said he's 16, I'm not sure, but he is a dancer, and he has bone cancer, and he's been doing chemo, and he's like back in for a scan to kind of see where it's at, and unfortunately the chemo has not been working. So they think they're going to have to cut off his legs. Oh, he's 15. Okay. He had cancer in his tibia. Then the scan revealed the chemo did not work. So they were going to have to amputate. And he was like, no, please. And Alex says, you know, they have these incredible prosthetics. Like, there are runners with prosthetics who run faster than people who aren't amputees. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, that's not, I don't need it for running. I need it for dancing. It's something different. Like, unless you can build me a leg like this leg that is mine, I don't want it. So then he has this beautiful moment where he dances for them. Also, his dad is such a green flag. I am obsessed with his dad.
Totally.
This man is an angel. And I love that they like speak on that.
Yeah.
In the surgery.
This is for sure the kind of dad that every little boy who doesn't want to play football or whatever, like whatever Callie said, cleats instead of ballet shoes.
Yeah.
And also, like, when I think about those stereotypical dads in TV and movies where, like, my dad wanted a boy, so he's a girl and raised me as a boy. Like, dads, just support who your kids are.
Yeah.
You know, like, can I toot my own horn for a second? I have matching dinosaur socks with Mark. Did you see those pictures, by the way?
Yes, they're cute.
Oh, fucking love. Like, it's so cool. And if I have a son who wants to do ballet, you better believe I'm going to figure that shit out.
Yep.
Fucking love the theater. Love the ballet. And that scene with him dancing. Weird without the shoes on.
Like, he kicks ass at ballet. Yeah.
What was the word that he said in the beginning? Where
he says,
like,
pas de ballet, and it's pas de bourrée.
Yes. Oh, that's so funny. And he's like, and it's not something you can kick ass at. Like, okay, what's your name? Jake? Let your dad just love you, okay?
Yeah.
But what does he say at one point? He turns to Alex and he goes, it's his Super Bowl. And he gets so excited.
Yes.
Like, that's cool.
And then,
cool.
Like, after he does the dance, his dad goes, do you see that? That's my boy. I'm like, oh, sobbing. So, like,
seriously.
I love this man. I want a show about this family and nobody else. And
yes.
I only good things can happen to them. Nothing bad. Like, the treatment works and then everybody's fine forever.
Yeah. It's just a sitcom of all happiness. There's no
yeah,
bad
there's
things.
There's no situation.
Happen.
There's only comedy.
Hey, I'm sorry, Jake. We got some news about your grandma. Is she dead? No. She won the lottery.
Literally.
She bought us a ballet studio for you to run. Oh! Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, I love this storyline. I love this family. I love this dad, this mom, this kid. So good. So good. Anyways, so Alex finds, he's like, oh, we can like replace it with a cadaver bone. They can't find a match in time. So what they do is they just take a chunk of the bone out. They take it, they treat directly with chemo. I guess they could probably do a higher amount because it's just a bone, right? It's not like a person dealing with the ramifications. Yeah. So they just treat it with like high intensity chemo and then put it back in. And then like, we just have to keep a close eye on you because like, we can't guarantee that it won't come back, but we can keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
And I do love the moment when like, oh God, what does his dad say? When they're saying like amputation is less risky. And then the dad's like, wait, what does it say? It's a big risk. I know, I love to watch you dance, but he's basically saying like, I love watching you dance, but like, that's not worth you dying.
Yeah.
Which is a fair point to make as a parent. And that's when Jake asks Alex, and he's like, if I couldn't operate anymore, I'd do everything I could to keep it. So that's when they decide to do it, but it goes well. Yeah.
I like a couple of things about this storyline. Number one, I was wincing and grimacing the entire time that he was doing the ballet, the actual dance.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you thought he was going to get hurt.
I was so nervous. I was like, please, this kid has clearly been through a lot. Do not hurt him in this moment. Mm-hmm. And Callie put it in my head. She's like, if he gets hurt, it's on you. And I'm like, Callie, yeah. Why would you put something bad into the universe like that? My truth is that this is a happy ending.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about is they talked about splitting that one dude's jaw and how much pain that is. Mm-hmm. You removed an entire portion of this dude's leg out of his body. You could hold it in your hand. That's got to be painful too, right? Like, you're not just cracking that bone. Yeah, you've sawed through
really,
this bone.
No, I was actually thinking, I was like, do they put like a plate in it to help make sure it doesn't move in when the like the regrowth process? Because again, right. At 15, like, you got to think the recovery is easier than like an older person.
Right. But you're also still
growing.
But
it is still, yeah. But that might be because it's still growing. It might be a better healing place. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. So the other thing that I really enjoyed about this storyline is I like when they can bring it back and they can kind of give Alex that really raw connection. And yeah. The kid trusted him enough after Alex was like, yeah, dude, like let me see if we can find another option for you. Right. And he does this research and he presents it. And then Jake is trusting Alex enough to say, what would you do? I need your help here. And ultimately they kind of acknowledge, we're going to do this. It's going to be a shitty recovery. You're still going to be able to dance. But at the end of the day, if the cancer comes back, like you said, we love you more than we love the dancing.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to amputate if we have to, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Right.
And I like that they kind of have that as a family moment. The last thing I really like about this storyline is when they're doing one of the procedures. It's like kind of that conversation that starts everything. And Callie goes, wow, who'd have known you were so good at peds? Just by looking at you alone, I would have had no idea how caring you are. And Arizona, that's when she's like, okay, yeah, you know what? Fuck Mark.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Goodness. The dad was great. Love that dad.
He was an angel. An angel from above. Well, before we get into our next thing, we'll take a quick break from some regional sponsors. And we're back.
Delightful. Love it. Hope you all had a chance in that break to just send a quick text to your dad and say either one of two things. Number one, thank you for being a big green flag, Dad, and I love you. Or, Dad, stop being a red flag. Start being a green flag, but I still love you. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, what next? Oh, Jackson. Let's talk about Jackson.
Should we talk about Jackson or we should talk about Lila? Jackson first?
Yeah, we'll talk about Jackson first.
They're operating on Lila?
Yeah, it's the same story.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So Lila is the person who, God bless her, was just trying to do her fucking laundry when Eleanor raged over some underwear and drove her car into a laundromat.
Fucking Kimmy.
So, Lila has Huntington's disease, which is a disease that once you have it, you know you're going to die from it. Like, it's not one of those things where it's like, if you have this gene, you might get it. If you have this gene, you have like a certain percentage of getting it. It's like, if you have the gene, you're going to get it, unfortunately. And it's genetic. So if one of your parents has it, you have a very high chance of having it. So she has it. She tells Meredith she doesn't have any symptoms yet. We later on find out that's untrue. But she is definitely on like the living her life to the fullest while she can path, which I love for her. Full support. Going to Brazil, has lots of sex, has a good time traveling around the world, learning how to ask people if they have condoms in different languages. Vibes. We love safe sex.
Truly.
And so
safe and consensual.
Yes. And so Meredith wants more for her in like a why aren't you seeking treatment way when she realizes she has symptoms. And I think there's like obviously a hard acceptance piece. Here's what I feel. I think a lot of times when we see these stories, she's like, I watched my mom go through this and like these are all the terrible things that happen. I would never take away from that. I believe that you saw that and like living it, especially like if you're a younger child, would be very, very difficult and very difficult to recover from. And then to find out you're going to have the same fate would be like an impossible thing to process. I think a lot of times people get stuck in what they saw and they can forget that there's like so much active research going on in the medical community. And even like 10 years in medicine is an insane amount of time.
Truly. Like it
can come so far so fast. And so I would never say, oh, it's not going to be that bad, but it might not be as bad as what your mom had because there might be more treatments. Is there a cure? No. Are there like ways to ensure that your quality of life is better? Yes. So I just feel like that doesn't get mentioned a lot in things like this, but
yeah. Also, so I want to shout out for all of you Scrubs listeners out there. There is a storyline that involves Huntington's disease as well. And it's kind of the opposite where they see the mom go through it and the kid who is about Lila's age chooses to not get the blood test to see if he has a gene, right? Mm-hmm. And this obviously mirrors what's going on in Meredith's head because Meredith has, like you said, always saw the, this is what my mom went through, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go through that. So she gets tested, and I think we'll hit on that a little bit later. But when you listen to Lila talk, she really, yeah. When she says, I need you to fix me because I don't want to die doing fucking laundry. Mm-hmm. I want to die because I fell off the Eiffel Tower during a 3-man multiple orgasm fucking orgy session. That is a way I want to go, but flip the men for women and that's fine. They're all clones of Jessica. Okay. Married man. Okay. It's for the record. Okay, I'm trying to bridge gaps here. She's a cool character they wrote, and I like. She says that it got her mom when she was 45. That's young, and she's 35 is what I'm doing the math here. She said 10 years, and I got 5 good ones left. That's tough. That's a tough spot to deal with. You're like knowing your own mortality.
Yes. Would you do the blood test if it was Huntington's?
Yeah.
Would you do it if it was Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
See, I feel like I wouldn't do it if it wasn't. I want to do it if I am guaranteed, if it is like, if you have this gene, you will definitely get it. Then I'll do it. If it's like, if you have this gene, you may or may not be impacted by it, unless it's something they can like actively be watching for or treating or even curing. I don't need to know that at this point in time, there's nothing. I mean, I guess there are early signs for Alzheimer's, but there's like not really a treatment. So it's like, okay, then what?
Like, just, I think not the knowledge.
But you why? Know?
I think like Lila is going through, it impacts how
I
live.
That's such a different thing because that's like essentially half of the life she would have lived. she's going to have symptoms and she's going to die from it. I would want that knowledge. But if it is something where you don't know that you're going to get the thing, like Alzheimer's, you have the gene, you don't know you're going to get the disease, you don't know you're going to have symptoms, there is nothing they can, if they watch for it and they see like, oh, that's an early sign, then what? There's no cure, there's no treatment. So then what? Like, what was the point of that? You're potentially living your life nervous and afraid of something that might not even happen. Now, it's different with like Huntington's or Parkinson's, where you know you have this gene, you are going to get it.
I think for me, it's more of now I know so I can prepare. Like, imagine the level of one-on-one treatment and the cost that would require to be able to live in a good home and things like that. I think for me, if I had Alzheimer's and it ran in my family, which thank God, as far as I know, it doesn't, I would want to be able to have that foresightedness that if I do get it, or if signs do happen, it is late or early or whatever, I don't know, if it's one of those question marks like you're saying, I want to have my family financially set up in the event that it is like that, so that I'm not a burden to anyone. I think that's where I'm coming from. The Huntington's would truly change how I would want to
Huntington's
live.
Huntington's is different, yeah.
Because then I'd be like, why the fuck am I killing myself at a job?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that money is real and that's needed, but I think I would change my relationship with work and the time with family and with the ways that we live our lives. You know, but I think with Alzheimer's and that kind of question mark, you could still live to be 100 with Alzheimer's, but you have that quality of life and that burden that you place on your family. That's kind of how I would look at it.
I appreciate wanting to not be a burden and having the financial money set aside. But then it's like, if you don't ever get it, you just have all of this money that you've never spent on anything. Like, you could have used that to travel or spend fun time with your family.
Well, no, you just spend it in retirement. You just spend that in retirement anyways.
You can get
either
Alzheimer's
way, it's getting.
I don't know.
I'm just saying the knowledge for me would. I would want to know. But I get what you're saying about the difference between the two of Huntington's you're guaranteed. That is for lack of a better term, that's the death sentence. Alzheimer's is still a question mark, and I get what you're saying. But I mean, I don't even know if Meredith's going to look at it. Like, she took the test. Who knows if she even looks at it?
Yeah. Do you think she will?
I guess
Derek,
you know,
says
if she looks
he doesn't
at it.
Want to know.
I think that she's going to look at it. I think she's going to look at it, and she's going to tell Derek.
And what do you think the results will be?
For drama, she's going to have the gene.
Okay.
Yeah.
For drama.
So, Lila.
Yeah, Lila. Okay.
Because it also involves Jackson.
Yeah. She was injured in the car thing, but what was her actual injury?
Her diaphragm was ruptured. Yeah.
So they need to do, it's just a small rupture, so they can do, you know, Jackson gets it wrong. He says to do mesh, and Meredith's like, no, you can just do suture because it's just a small rupture. And when Meredith notices her hand thing, she like takes her the medicine and she's like, you can treat this. You can still have your fun life the exact same way that you have it. But then you have to go to the doctor when you get back so you can continue to like live your life.
Yeah.
So, my hair is coming out so much. So they do before this at the beginning of the episode. Teddy is complaining to Arizona about Jackson saying like he has terrible handwriting, and she like on his charts, like it's hard for her to read it because he has terrible third grader handwriting. And Arizona's like, at least he's nice to look at. And he's like, oh, so true. And let me tell you, it's so true. And Jackson and Alex over here, and Alex goes, you just got called a dumb blonde, which is a very good like summation of what they said.
Yeah. And the chuckle that he has when he walks away, he's like, walks away.
Love Alex. And so Jackson is like, okay, what can I do to like recover from this? But then he gets the the answer to the question about Lila wrong. You know, he says mesh, but it needed to be suture. And so then he goes to Teddy and says, do you need me to scrub in? And she's like, you need to ask, may I scrub in? Like, you want to do it. And he says, can I? And she's like, no, I don't need you to. I'm like, okay, well.
Pick a lane, Teddy.
I don't really understand why she told him to ask differently, but whatever. And then that's when he's like, you know what? If you think I'm pretty, I'm going to lean into it. I am not against using your wiles.
Yeah.
But I like that he doesn't really need to. He does have the ability. He's just in a rough patch. So he like flirts his way into surgery. And then in surgery, he's like, I'm going to do it again. And
that he tries to flirt. That was a little bold.
That was wildly bold. But Teddy catches on at that point. He's like, no. No, you can't do this.
Short of him actually whipping his dick out in that surgery, how? And Meredith sees it too. She's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, oh, did I drop my pen over here? Can I fix this diaphragm over here because I dropped my pen? And like, what the fuck are you doing? Bend and snapping? Come on,
man.
But the way that Teddy does blush and kind of giggle the first time, I was like, oh, it's so cute. Like,
yeah, but then she walks away and she's like, what just happened? Like, she's right, like, wait, right. He is that pretty. I don't know if you've met people in your life that are that pretty where it like almost distracts you. I remember when I worked at Disney, they brought in this guy this was on my CP. They brought in this guy to train. And when they were like, oh, this is so-and-so. I don't remember his name, which is awful. But I like looked and I was like, nice to meet you. I actively did it, like turned back and did a double take. I was like, oh my God. And I'm not talking like, oh, this man is hot. I was like, this man is like shockingly pretty. I was like, this is like art. It was bizarre. That's how I feel about Jackson. I'm like, this is just a level above. There's a difference between just being like, oh, that's an attractive person. And this man is like, it's just another level. And that's where he sits.
I believe that. What?
What? Did say you, what you were going to say.
You don't even know what I was going to say.
I have a good idea of what you were going to say.
What do you think I was going to say so I could tell you that you're wrong? Because I guarantee you that you do not know what I was going to
say. Something about how you are just as attractive as Jackson.
No. Okay. First off, I am more attractive than Jackson.
False!
That was for you specifically. Also, that one, you like ate the microphone on that one.
Yes, because I feel strongly.
I was just going to say that all of my friends are beautiful people.
Yes.
Inside and out.
But so there is a difference between being like, wow, that's an attractive person.
No. The way that you just described the double take is how I look every day when I look at you and Jessica
that's
and
false.
Michael.
You're
and
wrong.
All of our friends. And just, you know, I feel like everyone is
the
just
reason
so
I remember like specifically meeting that man and doing a double take is because to see someone that pretty is rare. There are lots of,
I don't know that
people,
I ever
lots
have
of
felt
pretty
that
people, but there is another, like, I'm like not exaggerate. I had to do a double take. Like I can't even really explain like what it was, but I like, I can see him still in my eyes, in my brain.
I probably would react that if I met like Alexander Daddario in person, I probably would be like, I can't even speak.
Yeah, I definitely think there is something like to see someone that you've only seen like on screen in person. It would be another level to be like, see them in real life.
Yeah. So anyways, it is funny. And I had that exact thought when Teddy was walking away and she's like, wait, did I just get got? And then, when he tries it again in the surgery, I'm like, dude, you wasted all of your fucking, you've lost
Here's
it. You just gave away
too
your superpower.
In the surgery, he didn't have his whole face. I'm like,
it was just
my
his
guy,
eyes. Yeah,
you gotta do it. A, when not when someone's life is at stake.
Yeah,
and B,
or other people around.
Face.
That's a one-on-one kind of superpower.
I appreciate. I never thought he was going to try to sleep with her. He really was just being like, if you think I'm pretty, I'm gonna lean into that. Which again, nah, whatever. Is it the best thing to do? No, especially because he does have the skills to back up like being a surgeon. But like, he is in a difficult spot because I'm like, if you lean into that too much, then it's just going to feed into the nepotism thing. Be like, he doesn't even deserve to be a surgeon. He's only here because of his last name and because he's pretty. So like, I feel like if I were him, I would want to go so far the opposite direction. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we get that scene at the end, which I know you love. I loved too. I did think that they were going to bone for a second there, just so you know. When Teddy walks in on Avery and he's shirtless and she's asking him the questions, and it seems like he's getting them right. He answers all of her questions right. Mm-hmm. When she at the end says, "Okay, good, you're not just a fucking hot idiot dumb bitch,"
right?
And I'm like, "Okay, this isn't where I'm thinking this was going." And then she starts to tell him all the things that he's doing wrong, and she's like, "Individually, these are not things that will get you fired. All right. of them together, and you being an idiot, will get you fired. And I should fire you right now, but I'm not going to."
Right.
So I like that end scene. And I liked it as well.
I mean, obviously, I liked it because his shirt was off, but I also liked that they bring it back to be like, but that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, are you attractive? Yes. Is that why you're here? No.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, it's why he's on the show, because everyone's pretty on the show, but.
Right. Fair. Fair. So, yeah, I like how they brought it back. And then she's like, now put your shirt on and do these post-ops.
First of all, he can do them with his shirt off.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
I do want to touch base on what she quizzes him on. A cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
And we should go over that, because I feel like they mention cabbage in a lot of medical shows. It's kind of like a standard thing. And I learned in my research that a cabbage is, in fact, the same thing as bypass surgery.
Ah,
I did not know that. So cabbage is also not spelled like cabbage. It's spelled C-A-B-G. So it's coronary artery bypass grafting.
Okay.
Also known as heart bypass. Surgical procedure that improves blood flow to the heart. It is used to treat coronary artery disease, which is caused by buildup of fatty materials in the coronary arteries that supply oxygen and nutrients to the heart muscle. This plaque buildup can narrow the vessels, restricting blood flow or blocking it completely, causing a heart attack. Cabbage can restore blood supply to the heart muscle by diverting blood around blocked or narrowed areas using healthy blood vessels from other parts of the body. So there are different like levels, because there's triple bypass, quadruple bypass, all that. And that's when they have to do each specific artery. And I believe that after they finish each specific artery, they'd have to take the patient back off of bypass to make sure that specific graft was successful. And then they go back on bypass for the next artery, which is why like double, triple, quadruples are more dangerous, because it's harder for the body to come on and off of bypass so many times.
Interesting.
Yes. So that's what a cabbage is.
This is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Damn it.
Well, I love that. Thank you so much for teaching.
You're so welcome.
Just being a wise doctor professor here.
Yes.
Anything else with this particular storyline that we should talk through? I like that the original conversation that we get with Teddy, and knowing that she thinks that Jackson is hot, is when Arizona's like, "You should fuck Mark again, because I can't deal with him.
He's and annoying me.
I need you to have sex with him so he'll stop annoying me." Let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else with Lila that we should talk about?
I don't think so.
We should talk a little bit about, I know we'll come back to Meredith with that in a minute, but we get a scene with Weber and Bailey, mm-hmm. where Weber is basically trying to steal the Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic, which raises the question. that is annoying. Yes. Just build an additional wing of the hospital is my thought. Where the fuck is Izzy? And why has she not come back? I know that she's gone. I know that. But can they explain why she doesn't like the Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic anymore? She made the clinic with his inheritance money.
No. She's selfish, and she left because she didn't want to be with Alex anymore. And then she said, "Oh, wait, I shouldn't have been selfish." And then he said, "But you are, so go away."
Fair. All fair things. I get it. I don't know, man. I have a hard time understanding. That's a weird storyline that I don't think should continue. They should just get rid of the Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic or sell the Duquette Clinic to someone else. Or maybe Izzy comes back and buys it. And she's like,
why do you think she needs to be there for it to run?
It was her money.
So?
It's her clinic, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, it was a donation and they built the clinic.
Yes.
I don't think she owns it. She donated it.
I don't know. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that one.
Do you not understand what donations are?
Yes.
So I don't understand where the disconnect is.
If I donate something, I still own it.
That would be where the disconnect is.
If
that factually
I donate,
incorrect statement would be the disconnect.
If I donate money to build a museum, that is my museum.
Nope. That's wrong. You're wrong.
I understand. For the record, I understand that I'm wrong, but I want you to know that's how I'm seeing that Izzy. It's Izzy's clinic.
Okay, well, it's not the Izzy Stevens Clinic. It is the Denny Duquette Clinic. So if anyone owns it, it's Denny, and he's dead. So,
well, Izzy is the next of kin.
Just because Izzy isn't there doesn't mean all of those people shouldn't have access to free health care.
No, but he does talk about what we say. It's for bariatric centers, which I think is for.
He said geriatric.
I thought he said bariatric.
Let me see if it's in the transcript.
Bariatric, like bariatric surgery for weight related illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Where is it? There it is.
And you got it?
You're right. It is bariatric. Makes sense. I would assume geriatric because, you know, old people be, there's a lot of them.
Yep. So anyways, that's a scene that we get, and Bailey says, all the fight I have in me today is to say that I got Yang. That's my girl today. We do get a scene bringing Weber back in later, though, where he asks about Derek's face being on a billboard.
Yes.
Which is funny. But Meredith also asks if he ever may have experienced like cries for help that were masked, that were kind of like hidden.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that scene?
I don't really know, honestly. I feel like it was somehow part of her journey on why she decided to get the test to find out if she had the gene. But I don't really know like what she was looking for there.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Yeah.
Like cause it would have been maybe something as like she was forgetful, but
then it's like, I mean, here's the thing with that we know about Ellis or Sally Langston in my current state, is that she was very, like, she took a lot of pride in her work, a lot of pride in being very smart, a lot of pride in being the best. So I don't think she would have admitted on any level of having any kind of mental struggle or anything. So I really don't know, like, what Meredith was looking for in this conversation. And I don't really know what we as the audience are meant to think by it. I don't think it's like a weird question for her to ask. I just don't really understand the connect to the journey of her kind of trying to decide if she's going to get this blood test or not.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't really have an answer on that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. What else do we need to talk about? Should we circle back to the anything with Meredith and her hostile uterus, or I feel like we've gotten through pretty much all the
topics.
I think
we did everything.
Because a lot of things in this episode, it was another one where it felt very intertwined.
Yeah.
Which
is, you know, that's a good episode should be like that.
Yeah. When Meredith walks up to Christina and just says hostile uterus, and she goes, "House hunting with my husband." And then she goes, at least it's not cancer, you know, it's...
at least you're calling him your husband.
Right. I do like when the initial, I'm just going through my notes now, that I missed, with Meredith, when she does talk about how, when she's with Lexi, and she's like, I would like to not sleep in the attic anymore. And when Meredith says, April's best friend just died and she's all alone. Then we get Lexi saying, but she's annoying. And Christina's like, really? Because I find you annoying.
Well, that, not just that. She says, I find you much more annoying, which, like, is wild to me because, like, was Lexi annoying initially? Yes. Is she more annoying than April now? No.
No. It's not even close.
Not by a long shot.
Yeah.
I think she might say that because Christina being, like, protective of Meredith is probably still associates Lexi with, like, how, like, much was crazy when she first showed up. But I'm like, but in the current day, April is a way more annoying.
Yeah. And even now, April is like finally having a good arc. So I really don't find any one particular person on the show annoying right now. Yeah. I see people as problematic. Yeah. I see Owen as problematic.
Yeah.
I see things about every character as a little bit problematic. But I don't find anyone really annoying right now. Also, I'm so sorry to all the George lovers out there. No one has ever been more annoying than George.
That's true.
In my humble opinion.
That's true.
Did he finally have some good stuff happen before they murdered him? Sure. But anyways, so, and then the final scene, we get a wrap with Derek coming in ready to fuck. And Meredith is like, by the way, I took the test for Alzheimer's. And he's like, why?
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's all the notes that I have.
Yeah.
She does have a funny dialogue at the end, by the way. Meredith says, I don't want, if I have it and I give it to our kid, I don't want to be 80 and drooling, and you have a 50-year-old kid and drooling. Yeah. So, funny. Funny.
Yeah, and I think it is interesting that Derek's like, don't tell me the results, which I'm like, well, that's not, I don't know if that's,
because then she has really to carry that burden by herself. Being that's not fair.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, don't, like, you, I don't know. It's like, if she should, if she knows, you should also know, regardless of what the answer is. I don't even think it's about carrying a burden. It's about being on the same page.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, good Derek episode, because he's not in it at all.
Yeah, but
other than his face on that billboard,
which was good.
Okay, let's make predictions.
We should rate
it
first.
We'll rate it so we don't forget, like that one time we forgot.
Yeah.
You go first.
I'm giving this a 4.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was giving it a 3.8.
I want to give it a 4 because I think that there is some cool development happening and some cool dialogues. I like the scenes that we get with Mark, Cali, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Even if Alex's scene is HR inappropriate, it's a good scene with Arizona, mm-hmm. minus the word jugs. I like that Lexi has a quick arc in this one. And I like that April is there slowly kind of integrating her into the group. And I like that it was nuanced and it was quick. But when both Meredith and Christina were able to say, when they were like, her uterus is happy, her uterus is sunshiny, we have seen in the past their characters very much shit on happy people. And here they were very much like, I like this. We need a little bit of happiness in our lives right now, you know? So I think there's some like small micro situations that I was really enjoying. I like that Jackson kind of had this quick arc of, I'm going to use my flirty powers, and then a very, very quick response time of Teddy being like, no.
Bitch. I disagree.
Yeah. So a lot of like smaller things happened, and it was just a fun episode. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. It was like if you, the barely sneaking in at a 4.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's just like it's a 3.8. You know, it's good. We got some good stuff. We are progressing on storylines, kind of establishing things, but it's not like anything huge happened in this that's gonna be, you know, lingeringly impactful for everyone for the rest of eternity. It's just, you know, it's a good episode of Grey's. People are doing stuff. People are operating. Nobody died. Love that. Woman went to prison.
Dad was a big green flag. That was nice. Yeah, so and good. Eleanor. Love the dad. Man, her.
Straight to jail. Straight to jail. I'm sorry. That's what happens when you also will never get over the fact that laundromat is spelled with an O. I will never get over that. I hate it so much. It is not a laundromat. It is a laundromat.
Laundromat. Yeah.
Yeah. It just throws me off every time. Okay. So predict, you said you think that Owen and Christina are going to get a divorce.
I think that they need to get a divorce. I don't know if I'm actually predicting that, but I think they need to get a divorce. You know what? Fuck it. I'm predicting they're going to get a divorce.
Okay. When?
What did I say? Who? Callie and Arizona are going to get married by mm-hmm. season 7, episode 17 or 18. Something like that. 18.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I still think that Teddy and Jackson are going to bone.
Okay.
I think my prediction for Mark and Lexi is they will get back together, but it's gonna be a while. Not in this season. I think they're gonna put us on a will they won't they journey, because that's really the only journey they have right now. No one else is kind of will they won't they. I think Alex and April are gonna have sex. Or April and Jackson are going to... April's going to have sex. She's going to lose her virginity at some point. It's going to be to someone on the show. It's not going to be a random... I hope it's not a patient. That would be stupid. And Christina, I think next episode or the episode after is going to finally get back into the surgery. Another prediction. This is foreshadowing. They are going to get rid of the Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic. I just don't know how, and I don't know when. And I think that's all I got. I have nothing for Bailey. I have nothing for... And that's the only person I haven't talked through. Yeah.
Did you say anything about Lexi and Mark? Sorry.
They're going to get back together, but I don't think it's going to be in season 7. I think they're going to put us on a will they won't they journey for a while.
Okay.
A fleeting glance there, a missed moment here, another, you know, Mark goes to talk to Lexi, but now Lexi's having sex with someone in the hallway and she doesn't see him.
Okay.
And it's also ironically Amelia.
Oh my.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I don't think we have anything else to say. Make sure you follow us everywhere for all the updates and everything. Back on our regularly scheduled bullshit. We are about to stop this and immediately record some Patreon content. So
hell yeah.
Make sure you get over there. Get on our Discord. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Please continue to share us on social media. Share the episodes. Tag us. We'll reshare it. We love to see it. We love talking to you guys everywhere that we talk to you. Tell your friends, tell your grandma, tell the strangers walking down the street. But if you see Carmen, remember.
No spoilies. Do not think about it. We're getting into some crazy bullshit, and I am loving it. We appreciate you all. We hope you're enjoying your summer so far, and we will see you all in the next one. And to our Patreon listeners, we will see you soon.